Buying a car can be a stressful experience, but TrueCar is changing car buying forever. Every day, TrueCar.com users receive negotiation-free guaranteed savings. Some features not available in all states. In the first 6 months of this year, over 275,000 cars were sold by the TrueCar Certified Dealer Network. TrueCar users save an average of $3,221 off MSRP. When you're ready to buy a car, just follow these three steps. Go to TrueCar.com, find out what other people paid for the car you're looking for, then register at TrueCar.com to see the upfront pricing information and lock in your savings. And the third step is simple. Just print out your TrueCar savings certificate and take it to the TrueCar certified dealer for a better, hassle-free car buying experience. Every day, TrueCar.com users receive negotiation-free guaranteed savings. To see how much you can save on the car you want, simply download the TrueCar mobile app or visit TrueCar.com today. That's TrueCar.com. Yeah, the Books.com. Books. Books. Beautiful bouquets. Love these flowers. Flowers cut the day you order them. They get to you sooner and they last longer. Grown in mineral-rich soil on the side of an active volcano. Boy, those guys who cut those flowers, those are the true heroes. Got a volcano going off, you're in there cutting flowers. Like to shake the hand of that man. Shipped direct from Ecuador, meaning close to the sun, so they get that much bigger and that much more vibrant and brilliant. And the farms are sustainable and eco-friendly, so you can feel good about shopping with the Books. That's B-O-U-Q-S. Flat pricing, no upsell, no hidden costs, and always free shipping. The picture you see on the website is exactly what you'll see when you put them out for display for you and your family to enjoy. TheBooks.com. That's TheBooks.com. Use the promo code Drew and Adam and get 15% off your first order. That's Drew A-N-D, Adam, 15% off.
This is Corolla Digital.
Happy New Year's, everybody.
Indeed, Happy New Year.
You guys all taking heed of my resolution?
Everyone get your shit together?
Everyone get your shit together. Hey, that's look, I'm coming from a place of love.
Peace and love, peace and love.
Everybody get their shit together. All right. You're going to hear about Dr. Drew's trip to Chicago.
Love that town.
And a patent troll rant.
Uh-oh.
Which was very explosive.
This is the one we had to hide, had to edit it. Not hide, edit.
We had to edit it because I was still in the middle of going through what I was going through. But
you went off.
Now we're done.
And here it comes.
So here it comes. Buckle up, baby, and enjoy.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate, get it on. Welcome to the program. Good day to you, Dr. Drew.
I say good day to you, sir.
I say good day to you. And thank you so much for supporting us and supporting the fight against the patent troll.
I know I can't get past that. This thing that's sitting in front of you.
Well, they
first talk about it on ACS, and now here it is.
The point is this: Personal Audio is now doing some article out of Beaumont, Texas, where they have decided to position themselves as the victims.
I was just thinking they're attacking you as being a bully in this thing. And I'm thinking, wait, we're all supporting you to fight on our behalf,
yes,
against the bullies. We're all united. If they want to take aim at somebody, they got to take aim at not only everybody on the Corolla network, you know, Penn and me and everybody. Gary, we're all supporting this thing because we're all converting our Amazon links to support this thing. Mm-hmm. We're all talking about it with you. We all appreciate you going out there and fighting this thing. But it's also all the people that are contributing who appreciate you fighting this thing. So podcasting can go on without this bullying bullshit. And so also patent trolls can get a giant pushback. We appreciate that.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Bully. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Their latest thing is they've offered to dismiss it.
Oh, good. Dismissal? And that means they go away?
No. Huh? They
have some notes?
They have some notes on their dismissal.
Oh, good.
So basically what they're saying in this article is, first off, let's break this down. It's 6 months of our life. It's the cost of lost opportunity. Do you know how many fucking conversations and how many emails I've had regarding this topic?
Again, it's an anvil around our neck in the economy, this kind of shit. It is the waste in our economy.
Their position, Personal Audio, is we're going to come at you with a bogus lawsuit. We're going to ask you for a vast sum of money. We'll then realize we don't have much of a lawsuit, so we'll ask you for, instead of an ungodly amount of money, an insane amount of money. We will say no to that. At a certain point, we will be 6 months in, a million emails, a million conversations.
Huge expense. Huge legal expense.
Huge legal expense, and a couple things. Emotional expense.
Yeah, you
know, I have to walk around weekends thinking about this, and I have to talk to Mike August on Sundays about it. Okay, now
just speaking of Mike August, the humanity.
Now, at the end of the road, they realize they have nothing. I have crowdsourced a lion's share of my legal expenses, but not the total. And by the way, this thing where it's like, well, you went to fund anything and you got $450K. Yeah, I had to work for that.
And no, we all did events.
We did videos. I went to Redondo Beach. We did shows. I mean,
we worked for it.
They didn't just give me $450.
But by the way, it's a vote of confidence. It's a thank you. It's a tip of the hat for fighting bullshit lawsuits that face all of us
now,
and then a little tip to you to fight it on our behalf so the rest of us don't get frivolous bullshit lawsuits.
Right. And now, by the way, the $450 did not cover the bill.
Of course not.
There's another $125, $150 floating around out there that's out of my pocket.
I'm sure.
And now Personal Audio, the saints that they are willing to walk away with a bunch of little notes on the side, and they're the victims. They're the victims of this. So,
well, explain the notes, though, because I think that's the part that people have to. Because
you're gonna. But the point. Let me just say this: you're gonna walk away after I'm 600K into this thing and 6 months into this thing.
All of us. We're all into this,
and everyone I've dragged into it, and Dr. Drew and Joe Rogan and Mark Maron and all the benefits and the shows and the conversations. Now you're just gonna walk away victim.
I know, right? Like, it's just a typical bully. When you stand up and start swinging back, they're right.
Yes,
and Nerdist. And to be clear, they offered to walk away without prejudice, meaning they can come back and sue you anytime they want. Right? Is that right?
Now, Gary, we're gonna have to edit the show.
Is that not right?
No, it is. I can't.
Can't say that.
Remember
okay.
the part where I said I can't? That's why I keep saying.
All right, fine.
Well, first I said it before the show, but then secondly I said with a bunch of notes, I can't. Fine. I can't get into. I can't get into the details because I don't know why I can't get the details. They have not said we dropped the case.
Right.
If they dropped the case, then they dropped the case, and we'd get on with our lives.
But the notes keep it going.
They've dropped. They say we will drop the case, but here's a small laundry list of things we require before we drop the case.
Right.
Our answer to that is no.
Drop the case. Yeah.
You want out Personal Audio? Get out. With all the calories I've burnt. Cry me a goddamn river. Cry me a fucking river. Cost $600,000. Who the fuck cares where the money came from? Oh, we relied on this. Yes, we rallied our troops. Yes, we got our army involved. And yes, they're out the money. They're out the money. They're out the effort. I'm out the money. I'm out the effort. Fuck you. please, as if I rang a bell and $450,000. Who the fuck, by the way, personal audio, who the fuck cares where the money came from? Who the fuck cares if my daddy's independently wealthy or I raised it a nickel to fucking time shaking a can in front of a 7-Eleven? It's my fucking money. And you've thrown it down the drain. You gave it to lawyers, you assholes. And now it's gone. And what about the last 6 months of my life? Who's going to repay me for that, you motherfuckers? Fuck you. You drop the fucking case and we'll let you walk away. Don't give me a fucking list of requests. You walked the fuck away. You got beat. You understand? You lost. You came up with a bogus case. You tried to extract money from us, and it didn't work. The bullies got bullied. Now put your fucking tail between your sizable ass and get the fuck out of town. And by the way, personal audio, you want to keep it going? Keep it going. Keep
We're
it going.
In. We're all in. We're all in. We'll wait this
Keep
one
coming.
Out. We'll fucking siege.
Yeah. Cry
siege.
You a fucking river. Keep coming, personal audio. Keep it coming. I got all day for you. If I would have folded, I would have folded a long time ago.
No, that you're defending for the rest of us. It's for the rest of us. So we all don't have to fight this kind of shit or
yes.
be assaulted like this through the legal system because we can't afford to defend ourselves. So we don't have a ability to raise a troops.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. I have a law, by the way, in the article. I'm asking people to donate money for a lawsuit that I no longer need to defend. I don't. Did you drop the lawsuit? Did you drop the lawsuit or not? Here's how you drop a lawsuit. You drop it.
Just stop.
Just go ahead and stop. Drop the lawsuit and say, hey, no strings attached, no provisions, no side notes, lawsuit dropped. Did you guys do that? No, you did not. And by the way, we're not interested in compromising with assholes. You guys made a huge mistake. You picked on the wrong person. You usually go after big corporations. There's no microphone. There's no face.
Well, and
there's no
big
name.
Corporations just do a cost-benefit analysis. What's it
right.
going to cost to defend this versus what's going to cost to make them go away? And they just pay it.
Right.
Because these guys price it right in there where it's better for them to just pay it off so they go away. Then you go after private citizens.
Yes. And by the way, we have exceeded by six figures the number that we have raised in terms of our legal bill.
Yeah.
All right, personal audio. You want to end the battle? Walk away. But by the way, here's what happens when you fuck with people you shouldn't fuck with.
No. When you just fuck with people, they shouldn't fuck with anybody, Adam. That's
they shouldn't
the point.
Fuck with anybody.
But eventually, when they start fucking with enough people, they'll step on a landmine.
Do your fucking homework next time, personal
audio.
No.
Don't do your homework. Go away.
They're not going to
go away.
Just go away.
Stop fighting.
Yeah.
Stop bullying people.
That's not going to happen. So, I'm not in the business of compromising with assholes and extortionists. You guys want to go away, you can go away. But there are no compromises and there are no but sidebar, side notes. You want to drop it, you can drop it. By the way, I can raise money however the fuck I want to raise money. You're raising money. Yeah. I'm going to my people.
You're getting bullied. Yeah.
Cry me a fucking river, personal audio. Look, you guys are being called out for what you are. You know you have no case. You want to extract money from me, and it's not going to happen. You know the conditions. Here's the conditions. No conditions. You drop the case. By the way, sorry would be nice. I know I'm not going to get that from you cowards. Go ahead and drop the case and walk away. You want it to stop? Go ahead. You guys... You have a fucking toggle switch on your mahogany desk. Flip it to off. Flip it to off. It all stops. Leave it on or on with conditions or off with conditions, and it will keep going. And we're just ramping up for round two. So keep it going. Jesus Christ. It's so fucking sad.
Well, that's what I want to get into today, which is this idea. So they put out a headline that is bullshit. And I interviewed a guy named Ryan Holiday.
No, yeah. It's not bullshit. It's what and I'm sorry for jumping
go
in
ahead.
On you.
No.
When the headline says Adam Carolla asked Gavin Newsom what's wrong with blacks and Mexicans,
right.
It's not bullshit.
Right.
I said to him when he said blacks and Hispanics don't have access to checking accounts, I said, what's wrong?
Right.
So it's not bullshit.
It's not. No,
it's a twisting.
It's factually accurate, but it's a twist.
Yes. I reject their dismissal because their dismissal comes with a bunch of side shit that I don't want.
They leave that out.
Of course they leave it out.
So while it's factually accurate, it's not true.
Right.
Okay. And in this world, I interviewed a guy named Ryan Holiday. He's a great guy, and he wrote a book called Trust Me, I'm Lying. And he talks about – it's episode number 137 on August 25th. It discusses how people just twist headlines in order to get click-throughs, and they don't give a shit about the truth. The truth does not matter anymore. All that matters is creating action and energy. Remember the endometriosis thing I was fighting?
Mm-hmm.
Remember that?
Right.
That was all – yeah, factually, I used those words – had no relationship to what I was communicating at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so that becomes this huge – and I remember I actually called – I had my people – I had a publicist call Valerie, call Jezebel.com and go, hey, this is absolutely untrue. This is inaccurate. We'd like a correction. No.
Right.
No, sorry. No way. Impossible.
Sure.
So the truth no longer matters in media. So
no.
You have to be well. You have to worry. You worry that these headlines. That's why we have to speak out about these ridiculous things.
Nobody reads this shit. Yeah. Nobody feels sorry for these ass wipes.
Yeah.
Please, I don't even know. Out of Beaumont, Texas. No, who's in Beaumont, Texas? You guys. What people don't realize about me is I'm the most dangerous individual on the planet. I'm an atheist who doesn't give a shit. I don't give a fuck. I'll do stupid shit. It doesn't matter to me.
Well,
it really doesn't
matter
to me.
No, you're amoral.
I just don't fucking dance. I just won't. I have a moral compass, but number two, I have an ability and I can go do what I want to do. And I will do it at any given time. I'm not interested in consequences. I don't go through this life scared because I have ability, and I have the ability to work hard, and I have fans who support me, and therefore I don't care about the things that most people care about. It's nice.
Mm.
It's a luxury, but it's a luxury that you have to earn. It's something you accrue with your audience.
Yeah.
And our audience is smart, and they're loyal, and they're focused, and they think like we think, and they support what we support, and they understand what's going on. The bottom line is this thing so far is over $100,000 out of my pocket. I've not exceeded the price of fundraising that the lawyers have rung up. And by the way, for anyone who thinks for a second, well, show me some receipts, show me some bills. Obviously, I can do that. I think you know me well enough to know that there's no possible way that I would sit here and say, we've rung up a $350,000 tab and we've raised $450,000 and I'm going to cry for another $100,000.
No, right.
No. If I say the amount, that's the amount. And by the way, I'd be insane not to, because it's stuff that's easily ascertained.
Right.
And if it ever comes down to it and anyone wants to actually see the ledger, I'll happily show it. Happily show it to them. That is, and Drew, you've known me for over 15 years. I don't think there's any number I've ever fudged with people in this regard.
Yeah.
Why would I?
No.
Okay. We are raising money because they forced us to raise money. Their idea is, well, just walk away from the suit right now. Over $100,000 in the hole from your lawsuit, number one. And number two, you didn't drop the case. You want to drop it? Go ahead and drop it. All right.
I'm looking at these emails. We may need to start over.
Mm-mm. Why?
Because people who you pay a lot more than me are telling me not to let you talk about it on air.
Well, why did you come in and give me the article?
Not to tell him to fuck off.
I wasn't on this fucking email, Jim.
This came out.
This morning.
This is This is public consumption, right?
That's correct.
All right. Well, if it's public consumption, then fuck it. I don't care. I mean, that's the whole point. Well, we'll finish talk to Mike. When does the show come out? On Sunday?
Yeah.
All right. Let's just move forward.
Yeah.
And we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Tommy John Ware, man.
Ah, Tommy John Ware, man. Love these guys. Don't believe me. I'm wearing one right now.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah. Clingy. Fits good. Breeze. I will say this. I actually had this thought as I went to bed last night and woke up this morning.
You went to bed last night and woke up this morning? Huh. What a thing. What a thought.
Tommy John is the only T-shirt I can sleep in.
Ooh. Now, because it's tight enough, doesn't get,
yeah,
you don't
I
get
like,
tied up
I
in
like
it.
Sleeping in a T-shirt, but I end up sort of swimming in it and yeah. getting tied up in
I
it, and
that.
It rolls around. The
Ooh,
stuff,
look at that.
The stuff clings. Yeah. It breathes. You tuck it in. It doesn't come untucked.
Wow.
You don't swim around in it.
Nice.
It's revolutionized undershirts, underwear, socks. But the point is like, you know, that thing.
Why don't
of,
I have some?
We got some here.
I have some.
The point is this.
I'll try it.
We all got it. Here's what I'm saying. If you would have said to me a few months ago, hey, I got a new T-shirt, I'd be like, yeah, okay, new T-shirt. I got 1,000 T-shirts. Yeah, yeah. Fucking T-shirt's a T-shirt. Oh, no. Huh? They gave me a few of these, and I just put them on, and all of a sudden it was like, oh, no, this is an undershirt.
Like an Under Armour kind of thing.
Yeah, what I'm saying is, like, a T-shirt is really just a second shirt that you wear under your other shirt.
Yeah.
I've said to people, it's like, you wouldn't wear swim trunks under your pants, would you?
Right.
That'd be weird, right?
Yeah.
Well, wearing a T-shirt under a shirt is sort of like just wearing two shirts.
Yeah.
This is an undershirt.
Got it.
Underneath, it's unbelievable stuff. Anyway, underwear, socks, everything. You can go to TommyJohnWare.com, promo code Adam for 20% off. That's TommyJohnWare.com, promo code Adam for 20% off. All right. Calls, questions, thoughts, Drew?
I was in Chicago last weekend. Mm-hmm. I just came back yesterday morning, in fact. And what a great town.
Love Chicago.
Oh, my God. And they've gone nuts with the food and stuff there. They've mm-hmm. gone out of control.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to get a dinner. A lot of places don't take reservations. They're so overbooked. And I went out 9 o'clock on Sunday night. And I thought, this one place, no problem. Let me get in here. You know, it's Sunday night, 9 o'clock. Sorry, hour and a half. Hour and a half. 9
wow.
o'clock on a Sunday.
Wow.
Stumbled into another place. Yeah, John Pinsky, we have a table for you right here. Crowded place. 9 o'clock on a Sunday.
Well, I'll tell you, over there in Chicago, I'm trying to think, you tell me, in terms of towns that want to enjoy life,
yeah.
you know what I mean? Go out,
yeah.
socialize, have
yeah.
a beer, have a steak, see a ball game.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
be around other people. You know, people can say, well, L.A.'s got a lot of nice restaurants. Yeah, but we get in our cars
yep.
that are being driven by other people, and we pass a bunch of homeless encampments to get there. And then we go in there, and the guy who parks the car is making $7 an hour, and he's from Guatemala and lives in a one-bedroom apartment with 9 people. Like, there's no balance
yeah.
out here,
no.
you know? Yeah, you can go into Cut and see a bunch of rich guys, see Rod Stewart on a Saturday night, but there's not that communal feeling.
Not at all.
There's a huge chasm. It's sort of have and have nots.
Yeah.
And like I said, on the way to Cut, you'll stop, and some guy with a cardboard sign will come up and start rattling a can. Whereas a place like Chicago feels like a place where just people go out.
Oh, my God.
And
they work. They're, like, industrious, and then they're out. It's, like, it's very interesting. I loved it. My daughter was doing Second City.
Oh, really?
I had a great experience.
Did
really.
You see a show?
I did. It was fantastic.
How was she?
Really good. The writing, you would have loved.
Now, is
she... The specificity of the writing. And the history of comedy. She's like an expert in history of comedy now. She'll school you on that if you want to talk to her about
is
it.
Is she getting into it? Is she
she's
bit
getting
by
the
bug?
Yeah, she's into the writing big time.
Into the writing.
Yeah.
Well, I've always said, look, this is, and you know, everyone hates me for it, but the bottom line is... If,
I told her. This.
If
go
you
ahead,
got
say it again.
A girl, listen, everybody. This whole thing. Oh, Adam said women aren't funny and blah blah blah. Someone asked me if men were funnier than women. I went on a tirade, but yes, they are funnier than women
on average.
On average, Of course there Sarah Silverman funny. Is funnier than my buddy Chris. Yeah. It's just on average, idiots. Yeah. Please listen.
Because
every writing, every show I've had experience with.
Before you, I just want to fill it out. Because men use humor as a way of attracting women, so they cultivate it constantly.
Everything, all trails lead to get laid.
Yeah, for men, yes.
Whatever it is we've evolved into, it's to get laid.
Right.
And if having a sense of humor is going to get a short guy with a funny nose laid, then guess who's going to get a sense of humor real fast?
That's right. That's right.
The guys who don't have a sense of humor, the guys who have a 40-inch vertical leap and can bench press 225 30 times. Why? Not necessary. They found other modalities for getting their cock wet. Why is it all the short, dumpy guys have a great sense of humor and all the big, tall, good-looking guys don't have a sense of humor?
What is that?
Dolph Lundgren it has other ways of getting laid. See what I'm saying?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
Simple fact.
You were saying, you were telling somebody.
Every writing staff I've been involved with or part of, right, you know, staffing up, as they say, sitcoms, what have you, and they go, we need 10 writers or 12 writers. They always say, look, don't show me 10 dudes. I got to see some women in there. And then you got to scramble because there's not, for reasons we just discussed, there ain't a whole lot of women who do it.
Yeah.
So if you are that person and it's, listen, right or wrong, it's what it is. When I went out to attempt to be a fireman for the Los Angeles City Fire Department, they said it's going to be about a 6-year wait before you take the test. And I said, why? And they said, you're a white dude. And I said, "What? So what? And they said, we got a ton of them. What we don't have is this dude, and that chick. So if they'd like an opportunity, they're going to get an opportunity.
Quicker.
Yeah. Yes. And when I went to take the test 6 years later, when they finally sent a fucking note to my dad's old address, I hadn't lived in the house for 5 years.
That was time for your test?
There was time for my
test. 6 years later.
Six, could have been seven.
Yeah.
There's a chick behind me in line.
And how long has she been waiting?
So sort of, I couldn't tell if she was black, but she was something. And she was behind me. I said, when did you sign up? Because I couldn't get over it because here I was standing in line. The chasm between being 19 and being 25 is huge, you know. So I was like, that was a different lifetime for me, you know. I kept saying to everyone, like, when did you sign up? I turned to the chick behind me. I said, when did you sign up? She said, Wednesday. Well, there you go. Now, here's my point. If my daughter's got a decent sense of humor and they're looking to staff up and the decree is don't come back and show me 10 Jewish dudes, I need to see a little estrogen mixed in. I'll push her toward that.
Yeah.
And because so I have told her better chance for being gainfully employed.
And she wants to really train before she gets herself.
By the way,
that's the other thing
good.
I like. Yeah.
And look, I'll tell you what I'm not going to tell my son. Go out for the firefighting crew. You could go be a fireman. Why would I tell him that? It's not going to work.
Right.
Let's be realistic.
But she doesn't want to be just hired because she's a woman. She wants to be actually good, and she wants to be a professional.
Well,
so she's
not going to just be hired. You know.
No, I understand that. But she's very – thank God she's not wanting to shortcut it at all. She wants to really get good. And there's a people don't understand. You appreciate this, of course, that there's a real – there's a training. There's a professional training for people to develop that skill.
It's – you feel it or you think you feel it in the medical profession, but at least you have a degree hanging on a wall somewhere behind you, you know, and you get frustrated because you're like, hey, man, I put in 10 years of – college and another 4 years of everything, and you're sitting here second guessing me left and right because you're on a fucking sitcom or you're on a Aaron Spelling, you know, hour long drama. Shut the fuck up. Like, I know that feeling, and I've experienced that with you where it's like, hey, listen, 23-year-old chick who dropped out of junior college and became an actress, stop questioning me on medical issues.
Right.
I feel the same way about comedy. I've earned my black belt in comedy. Stop asking me questions. And stop, by the way, underselling it. So, you just met Jimmy Kimmel and you guys were just off and running? No, I paid my dues and Jimmy Kimmel paid his dues. And we learned what is funny. mechanically, structurally, not just some esoteric, oh, boy, he's funny.
You know, there's a great...
What if people just thought you were born with the ability to be a good doctor?
I know.
How much would that suck for you?
That would suck.
Thank you.
That would drive me crazy. Louis C.K. had a great, one of his older episodes, with this topic, around this topic. It opens with his daughters telling knock-knock jokes, and finally his daughter goes, Daddy, I want to tell a real joke. Okay, tell a real joke. And then smash cut to, he's standing in front of a comic audience. He's doing stand-up. And he says the following. He says, you know, if you start a joke, that's all you need to do. I know where it's going. I've been doing comedy for 30 years. Just start the joke. I know what the punchline is going to be. I know what the structure of the joke is going to be. I know where it's going. He goes, except my daughter. I love her jokes because I have no idea what she's going to say. So here's her joke, she tells me, which is, Daddy, who wouldn't let the gorilla into the ballet? He goes, who, honey? And the people that are responsible for the ballet, they didn't want to let the gorilla in. They thought it was a bad idea for a gorilla to come. So the people responsible for the ballet said no gorillas today.
Yeah.
He did 5 minutes on that. But the point is the same, which is that people that really know comedy have a deep understanding of this, the structure.
And a training.
Yeah, training, yeah.
And so your daughter is paying her dues.
Yes, she is. She really is. It was an intensive summer. I mean, she was working 12-hour days.
And what's your take on that?
I'm excited for her.
What is her next step with that? Do you know?
Go back.
Just keep training.
Keep training. Well, you have to be asked back, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know how it works with Second City. Yeah. I know with the Groundlings, it's very sort of cutthroat.
It's similar to that. It's similar.
And good. That's how you maintain a integrity, and that's how you earn a name for being good. And by the way,
it's like medical school. Not everybody gets to go to medical school. Not everybody gets to get a residency.
There are many people. Look, you know, people say, I got cut from the Groundlings, you know, and they go, ooh, that was a mistake. You know, not at the time.
Yeah.
I was very green. I didn't take drama in high school and college. I played sports, and I then worked construction. I didn't have stage time experience.
Well,
I needed to be cut.
The thing that surprised me was that the better students, guess what, did better. Because you really need to work. You need to know how to work and write and focus.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of music. A lot of dancing, a lot of singing, a lot of music now.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And thankfully, she's had tons of that training.
Mm-hmm.
And that stuff you got to do before you get to your comedy training, which is really interesting.
Well, we've got a question about training and getting to the next level. Yeah. Chris, 26, from Duarte.
Yes, right, sir.
Out here
Adam
in
Drew,
Southern California. What's going on?
I had a question for you guys, and I'm sure, Adam, you have some good insight into this. I'm 26 years old. I work currently as a field service technician for a large beverage company, the one that's preferred by Jimmy Kimmel, and I'm currently
Coca-Cola.
Halfway through. I just didn't want to say it myself.
Yeah.
And I'm currently halfway through a business degree program. And I'm spent my whole life turning wrenches, and I'm having difficulty breaking into more of a business professional type of a position. I've been denied two managerial positions and two sales positions in the last 2 years. I don't know if you could maybe give me some input, some advice.
Well, finish your business degree first. I'm a little confused. Isn't that sort of requisite to all that?
What I've noticed and what I've heard from a lot of people, you know, not only in my field but other professionals that I've worked with, is, you know, you want to be applying what you're learning academically in the real world. And I'd hate to be at the end of a degree program with no real world knowledge of how to apply my formal education.
Mm-hmm.
I got a great resume for a technician. I can turn wrenches almost anywhere I want to. But I've got nothing to say that, hey, I can come in and I can help this place make money.
Have you been applying for management jobs?
Like I said, I was denied two managerial positions and two sales positions in the last 2 years.
Well,
you only applied for, if you'd said 50 applications, I'd be like, oh, okay.
Here's the thing, Chris. First off, you're 26. I really don't count anything under 30 these days because everyone's going to live till 94.
Right.
So whatever you do under 30 can literally just be, let's say it to you this way, Drew. Put it to you this way.
Yeah. Dig.
Dig. Anything but, now, first off, everyone is living till 90, and everyone has 15 jobs by the time they see their
careers.
Deathbed.
Yeah.
Careers. Yeah. Not jobs, not weekend jobs, summer jobs. Careers. Okay. I would impress on my children, and would like to impress on my children, and any children, that you can spend from the time you graduate high school till the age of 30 packing like you're packing for a 50-year camping trip.
Right.
Just whatever it takes. All preparation.
Yeah.
Forget about feeling good. Forget about position. Forget about status. Forget about the car you're driving. Forget about the condo, the apartment, wherever you're living. So what if you're 28 and you had a roommate? When I was 29, I had two roommates in a rented house with no heat and no air. When I was 30, I had a roommate in an apartment. You know, like, forget about any status. Forget about it. Work, train, work.
Yep.
Pack for that camping trip. And then
go camping.
When you're 30, it's time to go camping. So all the interviews, all the training, all the everything, just do it all.
So for this guy, I would say keep applying. Just keep applying.
Keep applying. Keep training. Keep applying. There's no magic stones to rub here.
No.
Just keep training.
Stay at it.
Keep applying. Look at 30. Is that sort of magical number where you're going to move on to that camping trip? And look, if 50 is the new 40, then 30 is the new 20. Look, it used to be that if a kid was 20 and he didn't have something going on, that was cause for concern back in the day.
Mm.
Now, you can be 30, and your camping trip is going to be much more successful. You see,
all the
guys I fell in with and all the guys that turned out not to work out so well, one after the quick money when they were 23, but they're still at that level.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's see. Let's talk to Stephanie, 33, Florida. Stephanie?
Hi, Adam.
Hi Stephanie.
Drew.
How are you?
I love you guys.
Hi there.
I want to say that I love you guys. I'm one of your few black listeners. I've been listening for years. But I'm having dating problems here in South Florida.
Mm-hmm.
I recently moved here to return to school, which I am going to school full time. But I've been doing the online dating thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like all the men that I'm meeting my age are stuck in a boyhood, or they don't have a real job down here.
Yeah.
I would.
It's very sad, the new batch of men that this society's creating who are hooked on video games and arguing over the latest Superman theatrical release and how just devastated and disappointed they were. And I'm like, you're 41. Yeah, but it was really bad. Why do you? I haven't even seen Superman. I saw Superman when I was in junior high.
Yeah, and so I'm really into comedy and checking out comedy shows. I seen you when you're in Seattle when I lived up there, and just trying to talk to people about comedy podcasts down here is like they don't get it.
Well, Stephanie, let me say this. Sadly, you know, there's a lot of guys out there that aren't fantastic. You also have to not, you know, at age 33, when you're starting to look into getting into something serious, stop looking toward being blown away, swept off your feet, and having your cookie flipped, and look more into a little more boring and a little more secure and a little more solid.
Nourishing, like we talked about last podcast.
Right, right.
So, like, older?
Maybe.
I would say a guy for you that was older, possibly divorced, maybe had a kid, sort of settled into his career, got whatever his wild oats sowed, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Sort of
idea.
Settled into more of a rhythm in life. People call that boring, but it's really just more less hectic and chaotic.
Yeah.
That is my take. Now, have you been married?
Yes, and I do have a kid.
That makes
one child.
Makes it tougher.
Yeah.
And you're married. How's your ex doing?
He's doing fine. I actually moved to the state down here because when we got divorced, he moved down to Florida. Mm-hmm. So I moved down here also so that our child can be closer to him.
He made that classic move.
Every guy gets divorced moves to Florida. I wish my dad had moved to Florida. He didn't have $80. He couldn't move. He moved to another part of North Hollywood into his in-law's house. Ooh. His in-law's house?
Ex-in-laws.
Oh, sorry. Ex-in-laws. Could you imagine you and Susan getting divorced and you moving in with the parents? With her parents?
What?
When you're like 41?
Oh, my God.
In a one bedroom, one bath.
Whoa.
In the one bathroom, you had to walk through their bedroom to get to.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah. Not like I'm going to live in the guest house on the rolling estate. I'm moving into the house, and the house is 1,100 square feet.
What a weird F you to your mom, too. Right? Right? Right. Never thought about that.
Oh, it's pretty F-U-y. Yeah. Anyway, nothing personal. Stephanie,
hey, you need a place to stay.
I think you've made your share of mistakes. You got it figured out.
Yeah.
You're fine.
Yeah.
You know,
keep going. Like the last guy, keep applying.
Yeah, keep applying. And also, the best way I find to help. The thing that helps the most in the single world is keep going with your career. Keep going with your exercise and your diet.
Have something to offer.
You just sort of keep going with you, and then magically the doors start opening on the other side. Don't start just focusing on how to get into the dating room.
Right.
Go out, take a walk, eat some vegetables, work on your career. Keep all of it going.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Chad, who's 30, from Minneapolis. Chad?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Yeah.
Good. Hey, so my wife and I are expecting our first child in about a week or two.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And so the situation we're dealing with is some of my wife's cousins are Scientologists, and they have young children who are not vaccinated.
Mm. Interesting.
We've talked to our physicians, my wife's OBGYN, and they said they would rather keep our newborn away from any non-vaccinated kids. We're trying to figure out how to broach that topic with her cousins.
Mm. It's the way it goes. Your job is to protect your kids from danger.
At what age do you get to do this? I mean, is there a certain age, you know, when the kids are six, five?
I mean, when is the highest danger?
When is it okay to let them hang out with the unvaccinated masses?
It's an interesting question.
By the way, again, this is what's great about being me and Dr. Drew. No voodoo, nothing to pray to, no magic anything. Show me the data on vaccinations. I'll just do that.
I vaccinate the shit out of my kids, everything that comes along, because that's the greatest, other than sanitation, that's the second greatest advancement in medicine.
Because
it's weird.
And by the way, the people who do the, you know, I know a guy got vaccinated for smallpox and their kid went full tard the next day. It's like, thank you, Dr. Fuckstick. But that's not going to factor in. I'm just looking at data.
We know. I don't want to hear about lightning on Venice Beach last week. Should we never go to Venice Beach again?
Yeah, the people get hit by lightning. They get bit by sharks. Yeah. Shit happens. Understood. What are you, a superstitious native? Like, what's wrong with everyone, Drew?
I blame education. I really do, because that's when we revert to our superstitious sort of thinking. And by the way, even when we have education, when we're stressed, we revert to that too. But if you don't study biology, how can you have any idea what even a vaccine is?
But that's the whole thing. I don't study biology. I don't know anything other than the overwhelming majority of people that get vaccinated are healthier than the ones that don't get vaccinated. And the percentage of people that have a complication that's related to the vaccination that I'm not even sure has been proven at this point is infinitesimal.
Yeah.
So as a person who knows nothing, guess what I'm doing?
Yeah.
If you said to me, listen to me,
Because people can't assess numbers and things. They can't. They don't. They, like you said, 1,000 is an incident. 500 is a tragedy. Five people dead is a tragedy. 1,000, 2,000 is an incident.
I don't. If you said to me, "Look, I got to get from here to San Francisco, and I have five modalities of transportation, and it's each one of them is going to take 3 hours: a donkey, a car, a plane, a train, a bus." I would just go, they're all the same, give me the safest modality. Yeah. And they'd go, okay, well, take the train. And then someone would chime in and go, I read a story out of Scotland where a train crashed. And then I'd say to the guy again, but give me the safest statistically.
Yeah.
And they'd say, oh, the train. It's overwhelming. And I'd say, fine, I'll put my kids on the train.
Yeah.
And they go, and someone else would raise their hand. My grandfather was a conductor, and he told me horror stories. Thank you. Safest modality.
Right. I know.
That's it. Now, can something happen on that train ride? Of course.
Yeah.
Just playing the odds.
Yeah.
You can have a pool that is ungated and have five toddlers running around the house and nothing can happen to them. But you're playing the odds that something could. So you put a gate around the pool. You put a seatbelt on. You're not going to get in a car accident, probably, statistically. I'm just going to the corner. Yeah, okay, but put the seatbelt on.
Yeah.
That's all. Just looking at the stats. That's all. Don't get why that's not good enough for everybody. And you have a background in biology, so you understand it. I failed Mr. Diliberti's class in the 10th grade, biology, and was never allowed to return. I took high school science after that, which was really nothing. But the point is, I know nothing about biology. You know everything about biology, but we both arrived in the same place,
yeah,
which is statistically, this is a good thing. Sorry, Chad.
So, Chad, I just think you tell them. Like, our job is to keep our kids safe, and we've talked to our doctors, and they're saying this is not safe for them. I'm sorry.
Okay. I really appreciate
just
it,
very,
you guys.
Very sorry.
Well, the good news is, first off, it drives me insane when people make choices for themselves and then blame you.
Right.
You guys made a choice, and a choice that may put your kids and others around them at risk. Therefore. And now you're going to go, what the fuck? No. You've relinquished that opportunity to put
you
your hands on the hips.
That. You should expect that other people that are going to want to protect themselves. That's it. And by the way, why wouldn't you?
I don't know, but I do know there's a lot of people who kick you in the shin, and then when you punch them in the arm, they go, what was that for? Expect to be punched in the arm if you kick someone in the shin. Oh, certainly don't be confused.
Or if you just at least avoid them for kicking you in the shin, it's like that's you.
Right. All right. So, Chad, the good news is you can say – your doctor said these kids should not be exposed to people who have not been properly vaccinated. And you said, well, what about family members and blah, blah, blah. And then your doctor, with all the degrees hanging on the wall, said absolutely not.
That's
and
dangerous.
Thus, there we are.
It's a risk you don't want to take.
This is not you going Jenny McCarthy on somebody's ass, meaning inventing your own science. This is a man of science explaining to you what he would do with his children, and you taking your doctor's advice the same way you would take it for your children for anything. Your doctor, it's not just about vaccinations. They'll say, here's the meal, here's the nutrition.
Let's remind ourselves how much people just won't listen to that. It's bizarre.
Again, Chad, and here's what you and everybody else has to be prepared for. You set your own divining rod, and you take that divining rod and you set it on fair. Set it to fair.
Set it to reasonable.
Set it to reasonable.
Yeah.
Now, when unreasonable people explain to you how your divining rod is set toward you or toward selfish or toward pigheaded or toward whatever, make sure that your rod has been calibrated. It's set toward reasonable, and it's been calibrated. Once your divining rod is calibrated and set toward reasonable, you can have people point a finger at you and go, oh, my God, I can't believe you're doing this to me. Oh, you're so unreasonable. Or what sort of animal? Or why are you picking on me? And you can simply You'll sleep like a baby that night. You will sleep like a baby. But be prepared for people to look at you and go, oh, what are you doing to me? Do you understand what you're doing to me? Once you're set on reasonable, and not everyone is, and you have to, again, have to calibrate it, then whatever the reaction in life by unreasonable people who've decided not to get their kids vaccinated, that will be up to them.
Yeah.
That will be their choice.
Yeah.
And that will be that. And sadly, on occasion in life, it means a relationship that will not continue.
Yep.
That's their decision.
Yes, they created that circumstance. Yep.
That's right. And they can say whatever they want to you, and they can say whatever they want to the neighbors. And believe me, be prepared. Because when somebody says, when the neighbor says, hey, I haven't seen your cousins around here in a while, what's up? Oh, last time I saw them, they told me to fuck off. They called me a witch, and they threw a punch at me. And be prepared. Yeah. You know what the neighbor's going to say? I can't believe they said
that. Well,
that's
when, again, truth doesn't matter.
I can't
matter.
Believe they did that. Yeah. Why? Yeah. You know my question, by the way?
Why?
It's why, and then I followed up with this every single time. So you just saw your cousins, and for no reason, they called you a witch and a bitch and threw a punch at you and left. Yeah? Yes, that's what happened. If I went and talked to your cousins,
what would they say?
What would they say? And then the person...
They always go, I don't know what they'd say. Yeah. It's bizarre. Their behavior's... I can't understand it.
Yeah. All right. I want to thank you guys for listening. Me in Las Vegas, Treasure Island, coming up on the 29th of August. I want to thank you for supporting us. I want to thank you for putting... thank you, Gary, for subscribing via the PayPal button and all that good stuff and keeping the battle against the patent trolls alive, hitting the Amazon banner. And again, no skin off your back, whatever it is you're in on, whatever you're buying on Amazon will go toward fighting the trolls. My book, Present Me, is out, and if you want to send in the jacket, I will sign it. We got all the information's on the website, whatever you want, hats, T-shirts, whatever you like. Sign them, send them, it's all good. So, until next time, Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew, Chris Max Pata, Gary Haftard, saying mahalo.
This is Corolla Digital.